Good morning, everybody. Welcome into Morning Invest on this February 8th. It is Tuesday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris. Thank you so much for joining us.
And if you never say much more than your name. So I was ready to pounce like a tiger.
I'm excited to talk to everybody.
So I was going to say, if you're new to the show, we try to cover the stories here you're not going to see in the mainstream media. We try to give you a perspective that you might not get from your billion-dollar funded mainstream media, CNN, Fox News outlets. And we try to cover those things with an objective viewpoint here. So one of the stories we're going to cover this morning is these mask mandates, because a number of states right now are rolling back these mask mandates. It's odd, actually, because it's happening in Democratic states.
Yeah.
So odd, because you think some of the red states would have been pushing for this, and they already have. But you know what I'm saying. Plus, we got some mandates or some protests that are happening across Europe as a result of these mask mandates, and new research about how detrimental masks are to children in the classroom. So all of that we're going to cover in the show today.
Do you need me to say anything at all? You went through it. All of that is...
Yeah, and...
The first... Okay.
That's the first story.
That's the first, three stories. Also, we're going to talk about world leaders meeting to discuss possible war or possible de-escalation of war.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about censorship in schools. All of that and more on the show today. This Morning Invest starts right now. So good morning, everybody. Welcome into Morning Invest. So in the pre-show, like we do the show live every day at 9 a.m. Eastern time. So if you're watching the replay, you got to join us live. I'd love for you. But my mom, we were talking about sleepaway camp, and is our 12-year-old son.
Oh, is she watching?
Yeah. Is our 12-year-old son too young to go to sleepaway camp this summer? And I say, or he'll be 12 this summer. I say, absolutely not. He's going to be with his friends. He'll be 2 weeks away from mom and dad. He'll have a blast. You know,
2 weeks. We were talking about 1 week.
We're at 268 votes with a 91% yes, let him go.
This okay. is not a democracy.
Miles, you're going to sleepaway camp. But my mom just texted and she said, I love that you loved sleepaway camp. I loved it. It was like the two best weeks of my summer.
Okay, so but does she think that he should go?
Mom, text me. Let me know. Do you think that our 11-year-old, when was I?
Because
when
she's the first to admit she allowed her children liberties that she doesn't vote for her grandchildren. She's a bit more conservative. So maybe she's on my side.
Why are they here? Why when he turned out good?
It's true. I know it's weird.
He did turn out good.
Like growing up, like I was had my free reign of the neighborhood. I was on a bike. My mom would be like, come home by like when there's like you hear owls, you know? And I'm just making that up. But I would come home like late at night, you know, not late at night, but you know, come home for dinner and then I'd be out all night playing with my friends, you know, flashlight tag and all night, right?
Uh-huh.
But now that we have grandkids, she's like, she and your mom, they're both like militant. They're like, I don't know.
You got to know where they are every minute of every day.
It's slightly raining. They cannot go outside.
They can't play alone in their room.
There's a cloud.
We call that helicopter parent.
Isn't it weird?
No, I think it's very common to helicopter grandparent, even if that's not the way you parented. I think that that's just a generational thing and that you get more conservative as you get older. And she has said to me that I gave my kids liberties that I don't necessarily advocate for my grandkids because I just, you know, you're more protective of them. They're like your little puppies. So
do you know,
I get
do you know
it.
Where that thinking comes from when nothing happened to Clayton with those freedoms?
No, I don't want to discuss the sort of mentality of my mother-in-law. I think it's every grandparent is kind of that way. Although my dad is the exact opposite. My dad's like, let's hurt them on purpose to like see to get them.
He's like, stand in front of that thing. I'm going to throw this thing at you. See if it's stand there. I'll put an apple on your head. We're going to practice archery.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if he'll ever soften in his older days.
I don't know. But I think that at least I could find an advocate in Verna to not have to send him. If he doesn't
we got Grim in our chat. Happy birthday to Grim.
Happy birthday, Grim.
Happy birthday, Grim, who's one of our longtime partners here at Morning Invest. He's in the chat. Say hello to Grim. Grim Skull in the chat. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, indeed.
All right, we got news to get to. So let's start with what's going on around the world with these mask protests. If you've been following the news over the past few days, you might have noticed that some Democrat states, blue states, normally blue states, specifically New Jersey, Massachusetts,
Connecticut,
Delaware, are all moving towards getting rid of mask mandates, specifically in schools.
And this is surprising because we've seen that Republican states were the first to roll back COVID restrictions and then had to put some on again, although many of them just didn't. So a lot of them don't have to roll back restrictions that they never put in place, right? But the sort of thinking around it was that the Democratic states were going to stay as conservative as long as possible because Democrats like COVID rules, right? I mean, it's kind of hard to say why.
Yeah.
Democrats just are okay with putting restrictions on small businesses and personal liberty, it seems like, more than Republicans. I don't like the way that came out of my mouth, but that does seem sort of the dividing line, is that Democrats want to stick with restrictions for as long as possible until there's zero COVID. Hmm. Is sort of, well, that's even that's an extreme way, but we just don't expect this sort of gradual rollback, at least not now. But it does seem like the pandemic is loosening its grip on the economy and on social systems put in place, such as education.
Well, and it's interesting because we actually saw, like in Italy, like here's, you know, talk about protesting, like these vaccine passports and mask mandates and everything. This was in Turin, Italy. This is absolutely epic, as this person writes on Twitter. Citizens dining together in the streets to resist against vaccine passports.
I was not able to authenticate this tweet. I looked all over for it. It was one that I saw this morning and shared around a lot, but I'm not 100% sure that this absolutely did happen. So if anybody has anything about it, let me know. If this is true, it is definitely the most Italian way to throw right. a protest. Is a big open table of food. But it is interesting right now. Remember that Italy has a fairly high vaccination rate at about 85% and over. But also what is telling, whether it's true or not, is to read the reactions to this online, because some people have lasting fear about people without masks. And those people are the type that might even put in the chat, like, all those people are going to die. One person even posted a GIF from The Sixth Sense saying, I see dead people. Mm. You know, like, everyone is afraid. Well, clearly not everyone, because a lot of people are protesting. But a lot of people are going to have to tamper their fears of being without masks. And I think maybe that is one reason that governments are slow to make this decision, when the science is starting to show that the virility of the Omicron virus is low.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and then we have this in Chicago this morning. Chicago area school districts, schools are staging a walkout after the principal tells them to mask up or they have to leave. So here's the kids leaving. They're like, you know, okay, fine. No, we're not wearing masks. We're done. We're leaving. We're walking out. So this is in Chicago.
So the state has rolled back mask mandates, but this municipality, this school district, has put them back in place. And now the parents are protesting and the children protested as well. The school district gave them three options. You can either mask up and go to class. You cannot wear a mask and sit in the gym and do your work there, like study hall. Or you can leave. They gave them no third option, and so a lot of the children just decided to leave.
It is interesting, too, just to think about, like, where we've come in this whole journey about masks, right?
Yes.
And think about in the beginning, right? The beginning, Dr. Fauci told us, don't wear masks, right? So the CDC specifically, don't wear masks. It's not going to do anything. We don't want to disrupt your life. Don't do it. Then it was, oh my God, you better do it or you're going to kill people.
Yes.
Right? Then we started really getting, trying to understand data about how this is adversely affecting students, particularly students. And is it even really efficacious in stopping the spread? We see Omicron cases just going absolutely bonkers regardless of face masks.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. It's not stopping because of some little cotton mask on your face. And now we've got this story this morning, which shows, we covered this in the newsletter, by the way. We have a morning newsletter. Every one of you should subscribe. If you go to morninginvest.com, it's the best newsletter in the world, because it's, you know, read it in about 5 to 10 minutes over your cup of coffee. But anyway, we covered the story in the newsletter.
Yes,
about
we
how
did.
Face masks disrupt the holistic processing and face perception in school-aged children. It's a cognitive research study out of Springer Open. If you listen to what they're saying, is that kids rely on other people's facial expressions. Like when I say, like if I say something to you, right?
Yes.
And you disagree with me, or I say something stupid, what might you do? Look at the camera. What might you do? Exactly. Right. So I want to see that mouth.
Well,
right?
We can't just say kids, because I rely on that too. Like I have a little bit of a hearing loss in my right ear. So I have to watch people's lips to understand what they're saying.
Right.
Yes.
And so this research is showing that, you know, when a kid is like in a school and they're all of their friends and they're like learning like this, you know, like they're being taught by like reverse Batman, right? Because Batman would be like this, right? So they're like being taught by like reverse Batman. And
so Batman also should not teach masked.
Well, I think
school.
Batman would be fine because you could actually see his mouth.
No, well, the data shows it has nothing to do with one part of the face or the other. It has to do with the holistic shape. A child doesn't just say, oh, that's so-and-so with the green eyes and that's so-and-so with the black eyes. A child needs to see the entire face. And also, so many young children learn from intonation and facial expressions, which allow teachers to show empathy or to allow children to pick up the nuance of emotional education. A friend of mine yesterday was telling me that she gave birth in a mask, and then they handed her her baby, and her first face-to-face look at her baby. Her baby had to see the mom with a mask on, and that just dropped the bottom out of my stomach. I was really upset about it because, like, these are formative moments that your child needs to, like, see a face that's loving them and showing them empathy, and you're safe in the world. I'm here for you. You are loved. This is the kind of thing that will have an overall effect on these children. And it's just a, like, to be determined how much.
Well, and also Carla Becker in our chat says, I think it's good to take off the mask so they can see the mouth of the teacher. I agree. And then Super Panda in our chat room says, Batman should be a teacher. Batman would put up with nothing. He'd put up with no nonsense. Sit down. Get out. Like, Batman is
a
teacher.
I suppose. Yeah.
You would love Batman as a teacher of our kids. Our kids would be like, yes, Batman.
Batman would make you do your chores.
Exactly.
I would love that.
David, you were going to say, sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, it's like, and this is, we talk about this all the time, about people planting flags on the side of information. And then it's like, once new information comes out, they don't want to hear it. And they still believe that what they're doing is right. And I understand, because there was a lot of fear put behind this pandemic. Right. And so masks felt like that was a way that we were doing our part. But now that that's fallen apart, there's still people that just can't handle that new information, and they are not going to stop wearing masks regardless. Is it irregardless or regardless of how
don't
much
even,
information?
Don't you dare use that word. But, you know, I think we need to have empathy for those kind of people, because I feel like I went lock, stop and barrel,
lock, stock and barrel.
Mm-hmm. With the, like, okay, if you don't wear a mask, you're selfish. If you, you know, don't want everything closed down, you're selfish. If you don't listen to authorities, you're selfish. You're just like a crazy anti-Trumper. And it took me a long time to sort of break the paradigm that the media wanted me to say. And even still, it's sort of, when you see scientific research that's showing that masks don't necessarily stop the spread of COVID and that vaccination does not at all, it feels sort of traitorous to click on that.
Well, here, and then part of it too, like this, we have to add this into the mix, David, which is California's indoor mask mandate will end next week if you're vaccinated. But here, like, for instance, what about people that are recovered? Like, why is it just so, this makes no sense to me. Show me the science on why this is your law. Makes no sense to me.
Because a vaccinated person can still, that's,
it's
I
ridiculous.
Don't understand it.
It's ridiculous.
Well,
so
and
we
I also
about?
Wanted to say, like, I do have empathy for those people, but the problem I have is they don't have empathy or don't want to hear my information. Like, they're going to judge me that I don't want to wear it, and they feel like I'm putting them in danger, even though I would try to send them links, I would try to educate them. So my empathy can only go so far if they're not willing to listen to real information, and they're going to make me out like I'm somebody that doesn't care and wants to kill people.
Right. It can be very scary to think that, oh, I was wrong all along, and then I'm going to have to listen to you show me some data. But I've been more comfortable thinking that you are just an anti-masker or an idiot or a Trump. Like, those are comfortable things for me. I don't think that about you, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Subset of people. that's more comfortable than to actually say, oh, this wasn't necessarily the truth. I can live my life differently now.
Like, oh, we've been lied to. Oh, you mean the government's been lying to us.
Explain that, Natalie. Like you were all in at first, but how did it feel when you finally had to admit, like, I think I've been thinking wrong? Like, it hurts. It's hard.
Sure, but it's come in small increments of research where you're like, oh, okay, getting vaccinated is not the end of the pandemic, and it does not protect me in the way that I thought it did. And I have to say, like, maybe I shouldn't have done that. or I did that and I felt like it was the right choice at the time. And I think it absolutely matters whatever energy you put behind your choice.
And I also think inflexible people is one of the biggest, maybe the worst human failing, right? People who literally can see data, new facts being presented and still, no, I don't care. Show me your facts.
I think maybe that's what's so off-putting about the news media is that they're the unwillingness to say, well, what we thought 1 year ago is not true. Let's now do our reporting based on current, you know,
or they quietly hide it. Did you see the story yesterday? You know, this is a little off topic, but the whole Deflategate story. So it was
about Tom Brady.
Yeah. Remember 2015, was reported like the NFL, there was a whole big investigation into footballs being deflated and
he
the championship.
They got suspended for 2 games.
Yeah. They got this. It was the Patriots were going to be penalized. The whole thing turns out it was not true. Turns out the NFL covered up evidence about it. Turns out ESPN covered up evidence about it. Chris Mortensen from ESPN. This was reported yesterday. There was a big bombshell. A couple of stories came out about this yesterday. But anyway, Chris Mortensen sat on the story. Was holding fast to this fake source. Turns out this source was actually was inside the NFL. It was total garbage source. And when pressed upon it, wouldn't reveal the source. Anyway, the news came out about this. What did ESPN do? Instead of ESPN saying, you know what, we got it wrong. We were sorry. We had this information. We were wrong about it. They quietly went back to the original story and just updated the text on the internet store. Just like update.
So wait,
turns out this
tell
was
me
wrong.
The whole story. So Tom Brady did not deflate balls?
No, it was false.
Don't you think he should litigate that or ask for some kind of, he got taken out for two or three games.
I got to tell you the way that I'm going to say, I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan, but the way that was all handled was garbage to begin with. And you know that the NFL had it in for him and it was garbage. You know that Roger Goodell had it in for him. It was a whole big mess. But they sat on this evidence. It was total garbage. It was total fakery. And I think the way that he handled it though was Tom Brady-esque. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan, but he was like, fine, you know what you're going to do? You're going to throw this crap at me. How about this? I'll just win the Super Bowl this year, which is what he did. You know, it's like,
and he sat on the beach with Giselle in a thong.
Right. Exactly. He's like, all right, I'm going to take a few weeks off. You're going to penalize me. I'm going to go to the beach with my beautiful wife who is a supermodel. And then I'm going to come back and then I'm going to win the Super Bowl.
I think he also wore a thong.
That's like the ultimate F you. I mean, to me, I don't know. I love the way that was handled in that way. So
I want to say that. I want to preface this.
That's my criticism on the media, right? Instead of coming out, ESPN didn't come out and say anything about it. They go to their website and update the freaking story. Who's going to go back to a 2015 article and read the update? No one.
No one.
But he was suspended by an investigation inside so the NFL's investigation was also bogus?
Yeah. It turns out the whole thing was bogus. It was all over the news
yesterday. So they owe him an apology and they owe him pay for those 3 games.
Yeah.
I absolutely would ask for it if I were him. Okay.
Anyway, this is how the media lies. David, sorry, keep interrupting.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say, before I say this, I'm not a doctor. We're not doctors here. This is, you go talk to your own doctor. But the thing that's happened to the adults and stuff, I can kind of understand, you know, we can make decisions. But now that this is being perpetuated on our children and potentially even up to 6 months old, this is where I become militant because there's more data against doing it than there is for doing it. And it's like, that's where I have a problem with people really drawing that line in the sand, because now it's like the children that have no choice whatsoever on any of this, you know, with the masks, with the vax, with everything, they have no choice but to depend on us. And we're listening to bad data. That's the a dangerous place to be. And that's where
And I'm glad these kids are walking out. I mean, this is in Chicago. Yeah. So kids are walking out, you know, when the principal says, hey, you either need to mask up or you leave. And they're like, okay, we're gone. And everyone's leaving. Everyone's like, okay, we're done.
Okay, but kids will take any reason to walk out.
That's true.
So let's not be too much.
Right. Anytime there was an opportunity to protest, in school, you're like, yeah, that means we're going to get out of school. I get it.
No,
I'm like following everybody. Why are we leaving?
Although it's interesting. The other day I was telling my son, Miles, who's 11, that certain European countries are now rolling back restrictions on masks and social distancing. And he's like, oh, well, they're all going to get COVID and die. And I was like, interesting. Where'd you get that? You know, because there are informed people making these choices. So why do you think that? I was just interested because I don't talk that way, where he must have picked it up from. But at the same time, I didn't want to tell him well, the rules that you're subjected to at school are, you know, baseless, because I want him to feel a sense of community. But I also want him to feel, I was like, oh, he will feel unsafe without the mask. I notice even when I take him to birthday parties that are outdoors, he shows up with the mask. I'm like, you haven't got around anybody yet. Why do you have that on? And he's like, "This, I just feel more comfortable with
it." But how would you have felt if they would have done like Australia did and they had like campaigns where, you know, people were saying, hey, you don't need your parents' permission to get the V. You just go, you know, do this. And they did a campaign to scare kids into doing it, which they've done here in the U.S. Yeah. There's kids begging their parents to get it because they're so scared they're going to die from COVID.
Yeah, not good.
No, no bueno. No bueno.
Nope.
You know what else is no bueno is what's been happening at the Canadian border and these truckers who have been leading the Freedom Convoy. And I read a really obnoxious, condescending article yesterday, which called it the Free Dumb Convoy. I said, you a-holes, like, really? These people are saying enough is enough with these vaccine passports. You're ruining our way of life. You're clamping down on our, you know, on our life. You're clamping down on our way of living. We don't make enough money to begin with. You're asking us to do things that we don't abide, and we're standing for freedom. And some news article writes it and calls it a free dumb convoy. Well, anyway.
Like D-U-M-B.
Yeah, D-U-M-B. So yesterday we had Justin Trudeau come out, and he's holding firm on this stance that these truckers are ruining life for Canadians. They're blocking goods and services going across the border into the United States. The bridge in Detroit, the main bridge there, has to be shut down as a result of this. He's saying, you need to end this now. You're ruining Canada's way of life. You're ruining, it has to stop, Justin Trudeau says. And the whole country is now at a standstill because you won't move your trucks.
I mean, what they are asking for is a meeting with him. So he also could be construed as equally responsible for refusing to show up and defend his position against vaccine or for vaccine mandates. If that's what he really wants is to return to, then show up, right?
Right.
What's interesting is we were watching some news this morning of international coverage of this, and it was not covering the news. Was it Sky News this morning we were watching? Did not cover this as fringe and hateful people and white supremacists.
No, it was a Portuguese. It was a Portuguese.
It was not Portuguese CNN. It might have just been.
It was the local SIC. Yeah, but it was a Portuguese local station in Portugal covering the story.
And it had nothing to do. It had said nothing about white supremacists. It just said it had English speaking Canadians, what we call sounds on tape, were saying, we're not going to leave. We just want an audience with the prime minister. We're asking him to come and talk to us about these mandates that have been put on our lives. And there was nothing at all extremist about the international coverage, whereas anything that you read that is written for American audiences or North American audiences is telling you that these people are white supremacists. They were started by sort of extremists, anti-vaxxers.
Occupiers, they keep saying occupation instead of protest.
Yeah, they're like, yes, January 6th protesters. I mean, it's
so you're
absurd.
Only a protester if you're something the media likes. Otherwise, you are an extremist, right? And we are left to our own interpretation when, you can find sort of examples of anybody who's behaving extremely in a group of however many thousand. By some estimates, there were 50,000 truckers, right? Of course, some of them are going to be extremists. Also, some of them might have opinions that a lot of us don't like, in addition to being against vaccine mandates. That doesn't mean they get to be for something legitimate if they also have different opinions rather than ours.
Well, and if they weren't Canadians, they'd be called Trump supporters too. They can't really call them that because they're Canadians. But
right?
You know, we were talking about this earlier too, and I'm still confused by this and kind of wonder, like, how is it that there's such a global demand to go with US mandates on a U.S.-based vaccine, a pharmaceutical company, when we have, like, the worst healthcare system in the world? Like, why are they so compliant? It's like Alex Jones's New World Order was, like, there was some truth to it, because I just don't understand the global compliance.
Yes, a lot of international medical communities defer to the FDA. That's just.
And I don't understand why.
Have they not watched Dope Sick?
Why is the world government use the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency? Right. I mean,
why is NATO the superpower that it is when it promotes Western values? It's just, Yeah, we export our culture as Americans and our business as
well. But the Canadian government, and specifically Trudeau, you know, this fringe group, are continuing to say that this whole thing is started by anti-Semitic, they're Islamophobic, they're anti-Semitic, and they have all kinds of hateful views. These are the people that are taking to the streets. And the police are coming out now, taking gasoline from these truckers. And anybody who brings gasoline to a trucker will also be arrested. So if you want to support these truckers, you want to support what they're doing, and you bring gasoline to them so they can stay warm inside of the cab of their truck, you will be arrested. I mean, talk about fascism. I mean, yes. You want to talk about, I mean, give me a break.
And even GoFundMe pulled $10 million of funds that they, was it 12?
$12 million.
$12 million in funding that they were supposed to get because the police said they were a violent occupational force, and there's no proof of that whatsoever. So GoFundMe, with zero evidence, like did not say, here, we're going to do this because the police said they were occupiers, with no video evidence, no evidence of it whatsoever, and they needed that money because these people are not working while they're doing this. They're doing something. We should all be supporting these people.
Well, not Justin Trudeau, who says this has to stop. He specifically yesterday said this has to stop. This pandemic has sucked for all Canadians, he said. But Canadians know the way to get through it is continuing to listen to science, continuing to lean on each other, Trudeau said.
And now GoFundMe is saying they will refund the money that anyone has donated.
Merchant fees, they're saying.
Minus their fees, right. Yeah.
Which people are suggesting that they should do chargebacks because that could cost a GoFundMe anywhere from $15 to $35.
That's ridiculous. Wait, so I donate money to this cause to help these people, to get food to these truckers, to donate money to these people so they have gasoline in their trucks, and then GoFundMe holds the money, and they're going to refund me the money, but they're going to take a servicing fee for having processed the money.
That's after it blew up, because initially they were going to keep the money and donate it to their approved sources.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
That's infuriating.
No friggin' way. I mean, these, again, so when all of this stuff is painted as like these people are fringe, these are total nutbag white supremacists, they're far right. I bet if you interviewed a huge chunk of these people may even be really far left. You know what? These people are they want better life for their families. They don't want government involved in their lives. And they're not like middle of the road Democrats who are just part of this woke culture. They are
a lot of them are vaccinated.
A lot of people, yeah, yes. Exactly. 90% of them are vaccinated?
Well,
yeah.
Justin Trudeau said 90% of truckers. So then it's certainly not only 10% of unvaccinated truckers that are protesting. It's a lot of people who are not truckers but appreciate the efforts of the industry and do not want further burden on truckers. And in fact, all of us should appreciate that these people exist, that they have to make sacrifices every single day. A lot of times, a lot of their day is unpaid if they're not actually driving. They work in an industry that is extremely dangerous. It's up there with Alaskan fishermen, or, you know, it's one of the most dangerous jobs that possibly can be done. And, you know, it's not for us to tell them how to behave or think about their industry and what's right for them. And it's certainly not for us to say, oh, well, just get back to work and get the vaccine and don't care at all about what your rights are or anything like that. It's crazy how we're just trying to marginalize them.
Yeah, I love someone in the chat said crypto to the rescue. Yeah, you know what? Here's another example of cryptocurrency, you know, a people's currency getting it out of the hands of governments. I mean, here's a perfect situation, right? I read an article yesterday about on CNBC, actually, about how sex workers are finding comfort in the fact that they can get paid on OnlyFans and other places with crypto.
Interesting.
Think about that for
a second.
You're
reading about that, are you?
It was a top story on CNBC. I only read CNBC for the articles, mm-hmm. not for the pictures. So on CNBC, they were specifically talking about how all of, like, PayPal and all of these other companies, like, will not, you know, hey, oh, you're on OnlyFans or whatever. We're not going to support you. You can't get paid that way. So you're screwed. But this one woman talking about how, like, she had her Coinbase wallet. She just held up her QR code to the screen and she was paid with Bitcoin. And
interesting.
She's like, and now Bitcoin is, you know, $44,000 of Bitcoin. So again, wouldn't governments hate this? You know,
yes.
Wouldn't governments hate to have people's currency in people's hands? And like, this is this disintermediated currency. I mean, this is why this is exciting, in my opinion, on the crypto space. Hey, we've got a ton more to get to here. Do not flip the channel. Do not turn off your device. Isn't that weird? Like, now we're talking, you know, it's not like people are watching us on a TV. I'd love to know how many people
leave
in the chat.
Leave us up on a tab in your browser as you go about your business.
Yeah,
we appreciate it.
Let me know in the chat how you watch us every day. We're here every day, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And I see many new thousands of faces here. So that's great to see all of you. Do you watch on a cell phone? Do you watch on your Apple TV, on a Google Chromecast, on a browser? Let us know in the chat how you watch us. We got more news to get to. We're going to talk about the latest in Russia and what's happening with the war drums being beat there and so much more.
Really but quick first, poll update. 798 votes, 85% Miles goes to camp.
Good. Keep it going. Keep it
with
going.
Ernest.
All right, let's tell you about our show sponsor today. We'll get back to the news in a second. Our friends over at Cuts Clothing. Look how gorgeous this clothing is. There's already a ton on our minds. The last thing we want to be spending too much energy on is what to wear. And Cuts Clothing has perfected the art and science of men's shirts. So you can throw one on and look great without ever thinking twice about it. Every Cuts shirt is designed for modern tailored fit. And they're insanely comfortable. I love their shirts. And I love their hoodies too. They're essentially, I mean, they look sharp, like their t-shirts, their hoodies, their polos, and more. So you can stop bouncing between brands to shop for different shirts. So I really love their t-shirts, and the hoodies are just so comfortable. They're not constricting and really, really nice. Cuts has totally revolutionized their traditional outdated t-shirt category. They make easy to mix and match styles and colors so you can find the perfect style. Long sleeve Henley, no problem. Short sleeve crew neck, they've got it. They even developed their own fabric. So it will stand the test of time. You know, not that fabric that'll like disintegrate after 5 washes. No. They have patented fabric that won't shrink. It won't pill up. It won't fade over time in the wash. It's insanely soft also. So join hundreds of thousands of guys out there who've made the simple decision to elevate their wardrobe with Cuts. That's C-U-T-S. And guess what? You'll get 15% off right now. Your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/invest. That's cutsclothing.com/invest. To get 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. Thanks to Cuts for supporting the show and supporting independent journalism. We are not bought and sold by billionaire corporations. So thank you so much for your support of the show. All right.
A couple of world leader meetings that we're watching from just yesterday. French President Emmanuel Macron traveled to Moscow and had a 5-hour dinner with Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia. It was said that reindeer was on the menu. You could have chosen. They could have been eating that. It's interesting, local cuisine.
Blitzen's a little old, so
Perhaps. I've never had reindeer
Donner
before.
Party.
I would imagine it's a bit gamey, but they. Nevertheless, that was an option. It seemed to go pretty well, as the AP reported that they both were able to, quote, register their disagreements. Macron says that NATO means no harm, and if NATO moves into neighboring Ukraine, it's all going to be okay. And Putin kind of scoffed at that, and he was like, yeah, that really wasn't the experience, though, of the people of Iraq, Libya, and Afghanistan. He makes a good point there. He says Europeans are being drawn into this military conflict with Russia. You'll be drawn into a conflict beyond your will, and there will be no winners. What he's referring to is the fact that the United States continues to sort of round up Western leaders in this defense against Ukraine, and that the European leaders really don't want it because they rely too much on Russian exports. In fact, President Biden hit that point home in a separate meeting with the new German chancellor. He says that if this Ukraine invasion happens, then there will be no Nord 2 pipeline. This is the pipeline that was supposed to deliver fossil fuel from Russia to Europe, which Europe is highly dependent upon. It's interesting why the United States has the power to say that, because they don't own Russia, they don't own Europe. Why then would they have any say in that pipeline going through two continents they have nothing to do with. Really, it has to do with sanctions. They intend to sanction anyone involved in it, which would cripple the project. It's not so much that they can shut it down. They can just make it extremely uncomfortable through related sanctions. And that's kind of like the president reaching into his back pocket saying, what can I threaten with so that Germany knows you're not going to be the recipient of this fossil fuel if this happens and if you don't join my side. So far, Germany has really resisted getting pulled in.
That's because the U.S. believes in the secret, and they think that if they believe they own it long enough and hard enough, they will.
Supposedly, yes.
But I just don't understand. So the White House, you know, saying basically if Russia invades, these were President Biden's words, that means that tanks and troops crossing the border of Ukraine again, then there will no longer be a Nord Stream 2 pipeline. We will bring an end to it. Like, okay, this pipeline going from Russia to Germany, we will put an end to it. Your United States of America, like, we will put an end to Germany and Europe getting power, getting oil from Russia. We, the United States, will do that. We'll put an end to
this. I mean,
this.
It wouldn't hurt the United States really much at all. We, you know, we'd still be getting our oil from Alaska and Mexico and the Gulf. But hey, you over there will be hurting unless you do what we want, which is advance NATO into the Ukraine and beyond is really what Western powers want. And so it really was an unveiled threat.
But what's weird is, though, that Germany was like, hey, we are totally in, we're simpatico right here. You know, we're totally simpatico. I saw someone in the chat saying, oh, no, we're going to make an enemy of Germany. No, in fact, we're not. They're coming together on this. In fact, the new German chancellor who just took over for Angela Merkel, Olaf Scholz, said, hey, we are simpatico in this. We are right in line with this. And he even started speaking in English. He slipped into perfect English. He wasn't speaking in German. He's like, we are, if Russia does this, we are absolutely going to bring down the power of NATO on Russia. So fine, Nord Stream 2, we don't need it. Well, I guess we're not going to worry about it. But United States says this is what's going to happen, and we're going to fall in line because of it.
And Vladimir Putin says it's really the West that is banging the drum of this war. It's the West that wants it, but I'm going to stick around here.
Well, won't we figure this out pretty darn quickly?
It does feel like the North going who and the South going who. Like, they're just, you know, from the Dr. Seuss, like they're just looking at each other right now.
But won't we figure this out really quickly? I mean, if Macron says, we had a really great discussion, spoke with Putin for 5 hours. Putin says, you know, we're not going to invade. We're pulling back on our pressure. We're not planning on invading. We're never planning on invading. This is a Western narrative. We're not going to do it. We will know if it happens. Like, we will know who's right and who's wrong pretty quickly here.
The and US we might know if this it weekend, doesn't.
And the U.S. is saying this weekend they're going to invade like in the next few days. So we'll know. We're going to know pretty darn soon what's going to happen here, right?
Yeah, but this is the thing. Like, we look at the Gulf of Tonkin and look at the Bay of Pigs. Like, they could tell us that they did and they didn't just to get us into a war. And this was my I don't know if I'm the only one that thought this, but remember the argument between the defense guy and the reporter the other day? When they were talking about that propaganda film, I was like, okay, that's basically setting it up. Like, we're going to make a propaganda film to get the United States on board. Blame it on Russia. You know, like, my head just automatically thinks, what are they trying to manufacture right now?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, and that's what Putin says. I mean, hey, you know, we've been so trained in the United States that if, like, we hear what Putin says and we say, well, here's what he's saying. You cannot possibly call attention to what Putin says. Otherwise, you're a communist. You know, otherwise you're... So we'll see. So the United States says that Russia is going to invade within the next few days. Okay, we'll watch that. And then Russia, in this meeting with Macron, says we are not. We just don't want NATO to expand. So we are showing our presence along the border, 100,000 troops strong.
Yes. All right. I'm going to tell you about our show sponsor over at Athletic Greens. And then we're going to move on to this story that I'm finding increasingly perplexing about censorship in school and specifically public school education. But first, let me tell you about Athletic Greens. Athletic Greens is an excellent supplement that you can take to your diet that includes all kinds of healthful minerals and vitamins and helps to, in fact, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day off right. Clayton does, in fact, usually fast at least 1 minute meal and replace it instead with Athletic Greens. And it helps a lot because it helps with energy, it helps with vitality, and it helps keep you regular, which is very important to me. Did you know that Elvis Presley died from chronic constipation? If he had had Athletic Greens, that may not have happened. It's lifestyle friendly. They have travel packs. You just mix it up in some water, cold or room temperature, whatever you'd like. And it actually tastes quite good. There's it's sweetened with natural sweetener, so there's no sugar. And it's helpful for you to optimize your immune system. And it's just super healthy, and it's pleasurable as well. If you would like to try it, you can get a free 1-year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is head on over to athleticgreens.com/invest. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/invest to take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. We thank them so much for their support of this show and also for Clayton's continuing improved health.
Yeah. This was my start of the end of last year, lowering my cholesterol, making sure that I'm having all these vitamins. So this is my daily routine. I absolutely love it. David, you signed up for it as well. My mom signed up for it as well.
That's not on a coaster.
And somebody is really upset that they did not realize Elvis was dead.
I know. I saw someone in the chat say, Elvis is dead?
Sorry to give that away.
Yeah. See, if they would have used Athletic Greens, he might not have died.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. I have an irrational fear, not of COVID, but of constipation. And so anything that will like keep things moving, because I feel like that is just, you know, I think about it way too much.
Yeah,
and Athletic Greens definitely.
Yeah, that's all.
Is it a coincidence that you have such an educated palate and that you...
What do you mean?
You know, like you have like, so you're, it's like your palate is so good that like you're just worried about the food that you're eating getting stuck or like.
I don't know. I just like, I get really anxietized about like blocked up passageways. And I have two irrational fears in life. One is constipation and the other is serial killers. So, I mean, you know. Everybody has an irrational fear. Share yours in the chat.
1 out of 3 people are killed by a serial killer.
Like my mom literally thinks that she could get eaten by a shark and she lives in Idaho, right?
Right.
So some people just cling to their irrational fears. You got to let them.
I can't think of one that I have.
You have no irrational fears?
You do. You don't like needles.
Well, yeah, but that's not irrational. Irrational.
Yeah,
it hurts. That's a rational fear.
It hurts. It hurts. I cannot abide that talk. I've had 3 babies.
Do you want our 5-year-old to help you through the next shot you have to get?
I know.
But it hurts. All right.
Okay. Someone says spiders. Becky has an irrational fear of spiders.
I can't say cockroaches. I have an irrational fear of cockroaches. I know that's irrational, though. Like, if I see a cockroach, I'm going to flip and jump on a chair and run.
I don't think that's an irrational fear. It's like something you think about actively. Like, my mom spends time thinking about whether she'd be eaten by a shark.
No,
your
mom,
don't watch Sharknado
here,
then.
But oh, she loves it.
But the thing is, she loves Shark Week. But when she was visiting us, she was like, because we live near the ocean, she was like, I saw a show where a giant, like a giant tuna jumped into the boat and hit a person in the head and knocked him out cold. And she said, you just got to watch out for flying tuna.
Yes, she does. So anyway, I'm going to get in such big trouble. I just got a text about
You got a text from her?
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
We forget that our mom's watching when we mock them.
All right, I hope you don't get eaten by a
shark today,
Mom.
Somebody's getting grounded.
Yeah. Hey, Mom. Watch out up there in Idaho for a flying tuna fish. Okay?
Or a shark.
Yeah, just watch. You never know when one's going to hit you in the head, okay?
Also, hope you're regular.
Yeah.
Okay. I do want to talk about this. An association called PEN America, it's an organization that promotes free speech, has been doing a really fantastic roundup of censorship and new laws that are put on the books in the United States that are actually actively calling for either censorship or gag orders in education. It's not just like the mouse book that we that went viral a couple of weeks ago that was a book about the Holocaust and was taken off one school district's reading list. No, this is actually a lot more serious. They say in their roundups that since January of 2021, 122 educational gag orders have been introduced or pre-filed in 33 different states. This is a lot more than in previous years, in case you're wondering, to the tune of like 30% more. 12 have become law in 10 states and 88 are currently live. Of those, 84 target K through 12 schools, 38 target higher education, and 48 include a mandatory punishment. So these are things like no teaching critical race theory, no teaching your political party, which sounds okay in theory, but a lot of them give either students, parents, or ordinary citizens the right to sue for perceived violation. So let's say you said something that could be construed as critical race theory. In fact, one bill in Florida allows parents the right to watch streamed lessons and scrutinize whether or not the teacher said anything offensive. And then these citizens will be able to sue either the teacher or the school district, depending on the litigation. The problem with this, well, where do I start?
I personally wouldn't see a problem with them watching it and maybe having a board meeting to have an open discussion. Where it gets into litigation is where I think it goes wrong. Like, they shouldn't be doing that, but they should definitely be able to watch.
Also, you think about what will be left on the cutting room floor, right? Okay, you don't want them to teach Marxism or totalitarianism or communism as a preferred doctrine, but don't we want our kids to know what it is?
That's my thing, right? It's like, so you're just going to whitewash things? You're going to completely hide history? I can't stand this. I mean, people want
to look at the Germans.
Statues. Yeah, exactly. So they teach about the Holocaust in schools so that it's never swept under the rug. It's never hidden, right? It's still...
Because they don't want it to repeat itself.
You can go to these... I mean, you can go to Nuremberg and go see Zeppelin Field. You can go into see the documentation center in Nuremberg and walk through and see what happened. Like, it's a part of the culture so that it can never be hidden and never be pushed away. But you're getting all of these schools now that are... in Texas and San Antonio and Tennessee and Florida, they're all coming forward and removing books from the libraries and hiding books. And in Texas, a list of more than 850 books have been removed because it could cause discomfort, guilt, psychological distress. Really?
This I mean, I definitely believe that they should be teaching real history and all that stuff, and they should cover every subject. Where I have a problem and where I think a lot of people are fearful is when it turns into these teachers teaching ideology, which is happening a lot. You know, you have a lot of the ideological stuff being pulled into schools. And I feel like, you know, ideologically teaching kids is basically abuse. Indoctrinating kids is abuse.
Absolutely. And the problem is we are so divided right now as Americans. And I also have a fear of people teaching my kids things that I don't agree with. But at the same time, to make a teacher now a highly litigated position when they don't make a lot of money to begin with, and the people writing the bills are writing them in a very unclear kind of way, like who is enforcing this? How do you teach those things without undue influence? Will it then further cash strap the educational system and then take money out of school districts so that kids are getting a worse education overall? Really, you know, we have so many legislators that write so many laws just to sort of appease their constituents, laws that don't necessarily have any teeth or make sense, but just hurt people because it's there, right? And now a teacher could be dragged into litigation for just teaching something that's history. And this is something that is increasing in happenstance.
Well, and also more than, you know, this story, this study that came out right on top of all this, which shows that more than half of teachers right now are looking to leave and quit. I wonder why.
Right.
Right.
Well, don't you think like they should do, you know, where it's all of the history and all this stuff is taught objectively rather than with based on opinion after the fact, you know what I mean? Like, We should, like, it should be like the old journalists. They came in, they gave the actual news, they gave both sides, and then they never gave their opinion, whereas now news is all opinion. And I think it kind of should carry over to the teaching world, is where it's like, we're going to teach you real history. My opinion of it is not going to come into play because of, you know, the ideological side of things that the teacher might be on. You know what I mean?
Right. We're trying to litigate out things that we are afraid of. For instance, one new legislation would impose on teachers a duty to inform parents if their child displays signs of gender nonconformity or seeks to join a student club involving sexuality, gender, or gender identity. It's like you have to inform teachers or else, right? These things, I would be scared to death to be a teacher and not know exactly how to teach any given subject. It would just be all math all day, because you can't say anything else else get litigated.
Right. You can't, then at least math, you could keep your opinion out of it. Right. I mean, I could say like, I hate math.
No, you like, can't
I
say that.
I couldn't say that because the kids would be upset about
it. You know,
it.
Don't say that. You don't hate math.
I hate math.
No, you don't.
I hate math.
I do too.
No, you don't.
I have an, you know what? I have
you
an
know,
irrational
I don't like
fear.
It when you guys
I have
say
an
that.
Irrational fear of math.
Okay, fine. You can say that.
That's my,
you have a fear. Of
you
that.
Know, like you have an irrational fear of constipation. I have an irrational fear of algebra.
Yeah.
And division.
Fine.
I've gotten pretty far, you know, with that fear in my life.
All right. Well, read up on, for yourself on this story in the newsletter. It's morninginvest.com. And it is one of the stories we featured today, because it's interesting to think about how, you know, the media would say, oh, we're getting so crazy with censorship, what you can and can't say. It would appear that that is true.
Mm-hmm. It would. It would. All right. Yeah, so our Morning Invest newsletter, morninginvest.com is the place to go. Sign up for that newsletter. It's delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning, totally free. All right, let's do, how about we do, how about we do trending? We're going to see what's trending on the internet in just a second. But I do want to tell you about our friends over at Audible. You know, my son, on his way to school in the morning, has been listening to the Star Wars Timothy Zahn books. I don't know if you've listened to the Timothy Zahn Heir to the Empire books. They're so good. Or if you've read them, really, really good. But my son has a 30-minute car ride to get to school, or a bus ride to get to school. So he's been listening on Audible, and he's been listening to the Star Wars Timothy Zahn books. So what is Audible? Audible lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one application. You always find the best of what you love, or try something totally new if you want to. I'm a huge Audible fan. I've been an Audible subscriber for many, many years. You can stay connected, informed, inspired. And the beauty of Audible is that it works on any device. You know, you can download and listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking the dog, doing chores around the house. Natalie likes to listen to audiobooks when she's doing laundry and cleaning and doing gardening and stuff like that, right?
I do.
Yeah. And 2022 is all about celebrating our newfound self-awareness, making some positive changes in our life. And Audible helps make space for what matters to you. It's a destination for wellness, whether you're looking to do some soul searching, be inspired, work towards new goals, unwind, or simply be entertained. You want to try to figure out what makes you happy in your life. You can find a book on Audible to help you do that. And what's amazing about it is with Audible, you can try it for free. That's the beauty of it. Audiobooks, you know, if you prefer audiobooks to books, great. Then you can try that. You can try an audiobook. If you want to listen to podcasts, they have so many great podcasts and guided wellness programs, theatrical performances, comedy, and all kinds of originals on there as well. Very, very easy to check out. And all you need to do, if you want to get right now, you want to try it for free, be sure to share, you know, our unique experience. Just send a message to us and let us know what you love about Audible. You can let us know what book you're listening to right now. Share your all you need to do, we have it on the screen, there we go. Okay, it's audible.com/invest, and all you have to do is text the word invest to 500 500. So
it's an either or. You can either go to audible.com.
okay, yeah, that's what I was, okay, I want to make sure that, so you can do either of these, just to be very clear. You can go to audible.com/invest if you're on a, you know, desktop right now. Okay, and you can try it for free for 30 days. Grab any book you want. I would recommend our book. We have a book. Natalie and I have a book called How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years. So you can try that book if you want.
Yes.
There's plenty of great books. Yeah, it's and you can try it for free just for downloading the app right now and give it a shot. Go to audible.com/invest or text the word invest. So if you're on your cell phone right now, just grab your cell phone like you're texting a friend. Text the word invest to 500-500. That's 500-500. And of course, SMS messaging rates do apply. Of course, you'll make sure you want to check that out as well. But that's how you're going to get a free audiobook and try it. You know, just try it for free for a month and see how you like it.
Yeah. And also you can notate in Audible. So if you're the kind of person that likes to keep notes about what you read, I definitely use my Kindle notes a lot. And in Audible, you can notate things and come back to them and just write your own little note. For instance, I'm doing an Audible book right now called Scaffolding Parents or Scaffolding Parenting or Scaffold Parenting. Sorry.
And find it. Scaffold.
Scaffold Parenting. It's pretty good. It's about raising teenagers that I don't.
Scaffolding Effect.
The Scaffold Effect. I don't agree with everything he says. For instance, at one point he says, if you can't get your teenagers to talk to you, you could try paying them every week. And I was like, how about they don't live here if they can't talk to me? But there are some
good.
Oh, you
mean you'd kick them out if they don't talk to you, but they can't go to camp?
Exactly.
David, I don't appreciate you bringing up that contradiction.
Double standard.
Irregardless of the...
It's because I say so. I don't know. Okay, do you think you should pay your kids to talk to you, just to talk to you at dinner time? Like if they just sit there, you're like, hey, how about if you talk to me every night at dinner, I'll give you $10 on Saturday. Or how about like you don't get dinner if you don't just come and share
Dinner
your day.
Should be the payment.
Right? Geez, I don't know. But no, there are some other better interesting topics in this book. But there were a couple of studies that I was interested in and I wanted to notate them. For instance, there was a study where couples were asked to talk about controversial things that they normally fight about. And then they told the couples that the audio video recording equipment was malfunctioning. So the couples would start fighting and they're like, oh, sorry, can you take a second? We need to, you know, fix this equipment so we can. And every couple that had this pause, it was like a forced pause of 20 minutes, did not actually escalate the fight after a 20 minute break, which shows that if you're having a fight with someone and you just like take a 20 minute break, you can de-escalate conflicts inside your family. I brought that up with Clayton.
Love that idea.
Yeah. I was like, did you know this? And he goes, and you're telling me this because you're going to start doing this? Because it's really me that escalates. So
I'm, would you say that I'm the de-escalator? Why is this even a question? You really think that I always de-escalate fights?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Yes, I think if there was anything more anything more obvious in our family, I'm the one that de-escalates fights. Hey, if your mom's watching right now, can she chime in on this? I know she will agree with me on this. So yes, I try to always de-escalate, and then Natalie, I'm like, okay, are we done? But then another thing, and then, like, oh God, I thought we were done with this.
You need to pretend that our equipment's broken.
Do either of you have a tell on your, like a physical tell that when you're getting escalated, like a vein pops out somewhere or, you know, like, is there something physically that you notice like, oh, he's getting upset because that vein's popping out or.
I don't get upset though.
My dad used to do this, like rub his face like that and just like, oh, you're in deep doo-doo.
I don't usually get mad. I'm pretty like even Steven.
You get mad. You just don't yell about it. You keep it to yourself and act like a passive aggressive dick.
Right, exactly. Passive aggressive is my favorite thing.
I don't do passive is not in my vocabulary. Full on aggressive is the way to go.
That's Italian though. That's
yes. I cannot pretend. All right, I'm going to tell you what's trending on the internet before I get you out of here. Nathan Chen is trending because the Olympic figure skater scored 113.97 points on his short program routine on Monday. That's the highest score ever awarded for this event.
Wow.
Putting him safely in first place. We can't really find, you know, we can't play you Olympic videos or we'll get in big trouble.
Oh, they are horrible at that. They probably would strike, not claim.
I mean, it's hilarious. So we're not even going to try. We're only giving you still frames.
Hey, do you want to help with ratings? you know, here's an idea. Once you learn from what the NBA did, like the NBA allows you to like share clips, put them all over social media, right? And that's what like NBA, but NFL, you can't do it. No, you want to share a clip of like the NFL. No, you can't. But, you know, the Olympics, you can't do any of that.
Yeah.
Like we tried to find a clip to show you this one performance coming out. I don't know if you're going to talk about it here. And the guy that did the Darth Vader performance.
Oh, yes. I was going to talk about him next.
So this, we have a picture of him, right? But we can't show him off.
There's not even, because as soon as that went viral on the internet, so he's French figure skater, Adam Xiaohim Fa. His routine to the Imperial March remix was much beloved by everyone who watched it. But we can't link you to it because everything I saw online was maybe someone shared it on Twitter and then like an hour later it was taken down. It's just NBC and the Olympics are running around like crazy trying to pull everything that is not their official video off.
Isn't that crazy? Like what? Talk about, I don't know. I just think it's so backwards.
Yeah, because it's like what's going to make people want to watch it? Them seeing stuff like this.
Right.
Like, oh, here's a little clip from this. You got to go watch the full thing. And no.
Yeah, because like a lot of people probably don't even realize the Olympics is even going on right now.
Yeah, well, it's trending. So Stephanie Rossi says she thought that Elvis died of all the drugs. I believe the drugs were related to his chronic constipation. And that's what happens when you eat nothing but peanut butter sandwiches, you guys. That last part was conjecture. Okay. Rumble is trending because the company is offering Joe Rogan $100 million to abandon Spotify and his other platforms and move over to Rumble, its platform. And they are saying that they will not censor him in any form or fashion.
I thought it was kind of funny that it said he would not be censored for 4 years. Like, what's going to happen in the fifth year?
Right. And then we'll take everything down that you've done in the previous 4 years.
Yeah, we'll remove 70 of your podcast episodes because we disagree with it.
You know, Joe removed those himself.
Oh, did?
Yeah, he removed those himself. Like, that was all him. Spotify came out and said they had nothing to do with that. That was a decision that he made.
Oh, interesting.
Stacey Abrams is trending because of a recent photo of her sitting with school children not wearing a mask.
Oh my God.
While the other children, well, all the children are.
Put her in prison.
Now, this is a tweet from current Georgia Governor Brian Kemp say, well, she favors mask mandates in schools, but clearly not for herself. And so her opponents are saying, look, if you're for mask mandates, you're for mask mandates, not just for your social media. You know,
now she came out, didn't she? She came out and issued a statement. I saw says that it was an awful thing that she did.
She says she shouldn't have done it.
It was a huge
mistake.
Yeah,
they always come out and apologize, and then it's like a week later, same thing.
Huge mistake.
They apologize when they get busted.
Well, I mean, she's not so much busted. She posed for the photo and posted it, so nobody thought to say, "Hey, everyone here is masked, but you." So maybe just put that mask on. Surely she's got one in her back pocket.
Well, but I think these people assume that like that picture's probably just going to go on the school website and all that other stuff. They probably don't think it's going to go viral on Twitter.
I guess, but don't you assume everything can ruin you on the internet?
I would.
Yes.
But it's like, AOC going down to Florida and partying in the clubs and kissing people with no mask on and stuff. Like, you know, it's like I don't understand what world they live in.
Yeah. All right, Nikki Haley is trending because she said former Vice President Mike Pence shouldn't have spoken out against fellow Republican President Trump. Pence recently said that it was wrong that President Trump asked him to overturn the election. And Nikki Haley says she doesn't like Republicans going after Republicans. She has done that in her career, but she doesn't like it now. Would you like to play the clip of that? It is...
I thought I pulled everything in here.
You know what? I just said it. That's
I hate that thinking.
Where is it?
I really hate that thinking.
It's that one.
This one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so because that party before country thing is, you know, is interesting. So here's the debate.
It's like you're President basically Trump saying party before people.
I had no right to overturn the election. The presidency belongs to the American people and the American people alone. And frankly, there is no idea more un-American than the notion that any one person could choose the American president. Under the Constitution, I had no right to change the outcome of our election. And Kamala Harris will have no right to overturn the election when we beat them in 2024.
So your thoughts on that and about the focus on 2020?
Well, you know, I think, look, Mike Pence is a good man. He's an honest man. I think he did what he thought was right on that day. But I will always say, I'm not a fan of Republicans going against Republicans, because the only ones that win when that happens are the Democrats and the media. And we have to keep our eyes on 2022. We've got to get the majority back in the House. We've got to get it in the Senate. We've got a lot of governor's races to win. So.
Okay, so she's being called out for her past contradictions on that no Republicans should attack Republicans. Okay, Kurt Zuma is trending. He's a footballer or a soccer star, depending on where you live, who apologized after a video was published showing, that's not him, showing him, okay, I'm warning you, he's gonna kick his cat here and slap it around. Does not seem like the cat is harmed, but people who like animals will not like this, so you've been warned.
Or if you have a conscience, like, you don't have to like animals to not like a cat being kicked.
Right. I don't think anybody's going to like this. Right. So this was published as an exclusive in The Sun. It's not like a violent kick where the cat is actually hurt, but it is also not a way to.
Well, if he's a soccer player, he really knows how to use his feet, you know.
Yeah, it's not a way to treat animals. I'm not making any apologies. I'm just saying, like, I'm warning you for what you're going to see. And also, someone is laughing in the background as if this is, like, the way we normally torture our cat. He says he's deeply sorry and that his cats are actually fine and healthy and loved by his whole family. But animal lovers online are not accepting his apology.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't accept it either. There's three instances in that one video of him doing things to that cat. So, you know, one time thing, accident.
It's not like a playing rough with the cat.
No.
It's not good. Also, my mother texts and says that Clayton is actually the de-escalator in arguments in our house. So.
True.
I just thought I would.
Mom speaks the
truth. Fair is fair.
Your mom speaks the truth.
Yeah. Okay, that's all I got for you today.
Where does mom stand on the camp thing, just out of curiosity? Has that conversation happened yet?
My mom sending him to camp, she'd probably say no.
I'm sure. I don't know. My mom didn't text back. My mom probably had to go off to work, but I'm sure my mom would support sending our kids to sleepaway camp.
I don't think so, but that's a cliffhanger.
She allowed me to go to sleepaway camp. So what is the poll? Earlier in the show, if you joined us late, hold on, let me set it up. So early in the show, we had a discussion about my 11-year-old son, Miles. I believe he's ready for sleepaway camp. There's a group of kids from his school that are going to go to this like water skiing summer camp for like a week where they water ski like every day and they get taught how to do it. And they stay like in a mountain cabin together. Like, yes, on a lake? Are you kidding me? Of course. And they have to clean up, they have to like prepare their own food and stuff.
They learn
like,
very important life skills.
My mom says no. She says I vote no on Miles. I told you. The grandmothers are gonna say no.
So out of 1,133 votes, we got 83% saying yes.
Exactly. Miles, congratulations, you're going to sleepaway camp. The people have spoken. We listen to the people.
We'll see about it. We'll see about it.
Unlike Justin Trudeau, we listen to our people. You're not a fringe group, by the way. You have spoken, and our son is going to go to sleepaway camp.
Well, we'll see about that. Thank you for joining us. Remember that you can subscribe to the newsletter. One of my favorite stories in there is how the Dutch people are all lining up to throw rotten eggs at Jeff Bezos' super yacht. And there are more little tidbits in there just like that. MorningInvest.com.
While it's stuck under the bridge.
Yeah. Well,
while they are moving it, because they said if the city of Rotterdam does in fact dismantle this monumental bridge, then they will stand there while it moves through and throw rotten eggs. And there's a Facebook invite that has 3,000 people saying yes and 10,000 people saying maybe.
Wow. They will show up. That's a lot of rotten eggs.
Yes. Where do you get that many rotten eggs?
I would become a rotten egg salesman right now.
You know what? I'm all for the idea, but also it's very wasteful.
So. It's a lot of wasted eggs.
Yeah, but they're already rotten.
Bezos.
So.
That's right. If they're already rotten, who cares, right?
You can't find that many rotten eggs. There should not be. You should be eating your eggs instead of waiting for them to go rotten. Like, where are you going to find 10,000 people's worth of rotten eggs? Did you also see in the newsletter that something like 670 tons of food goes wasted in the Western world every year?
Mm-hmm. I did.
670 million, not
I totally
just
believe
tons.
That.
We had a bunch of super chats. You want to get to those?
Yep. Okay. We had Stumbledore. Russell Brand has less than half the viewers, I think, and he's talking about Joe Rogan. And Russell Brand has 4.8 million subs on YouTube, so growing every day. Yeah.
Hmm.
Ashley Robles 001. We don't talk about Brune. No, no, no.
Our girls love that song.
Yeah.
Tony Joplin.
Like the number one song in the world now.
Oh gosh. And you know what? It was my least favorite from that show. So it's like I cringe every. It's like hearing I love you. I'm like, no. I started singing in the house because Jennifer will sing that, and I'll be like, we don't sing about Brune. No, no. So
I like it. I don't mind it on my earworm.
Tony Joslin, how do you think the pandemic will be viewed like 10 or 15 years later?
Oh, boy. I mean, I guess you want to use like Spanish flu as like an example of, you know, I saw an article yesterday about the Spanish flu and why even like 3 years out from the Spanish flu, like we should look at that as like a good marker for how, you know, we were dealing with it. But we didn't have social media. We didn't have television, you know, at that point.
Yeah.
We didn't have radio, for crying out loud. So, I don't know. Now that we have this hyper, you know, I think people, we have such a short attention span. I think people are so quick to move on from things that.
I mean, look, I mean, you don't have to look any further than the Kennedy assassination to see how many people still believe that official story. Like, it doesn't matter that how much data has come out to contract that they still believe it. Yeah. So I think we're still going to have a lot of people that believe what happened, and that's the way it was.
True.
And then we got two super chats, Jason Frank and Grimskull, both asking us or telling us or you to watch Jack Reacher on Amazon Prime.
Yes, that's on my list because I've read the first, I think, four books in the series. I
know who like plays 30. Reacher?
I don't know. He's as a guy I've never seen before, but he is like a tank, this guy. I don't know if he was like a professional wrestler or something. He looks like The Rock. He's just like a tank. So I'm excited to see how he F's up these towns that he comes in and people are like, who are you? And he's like, I'm going to break your face. So no, I'm excited to see it. He looks a lot different. Didn't Tom Cruise play him in a...
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
So he looks
Alan
a lot different.
Alan Ritchson is what Grim said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was just going to look that up too. I don't recognize this person. And most of the billboards I see are him from the back. Just like...
Yeah, he's like a tank.
Yeah. What else was this guy on? Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I will watch that.
Oh, he's from the Hunger Games, too.
Oh, was he like one of the bad guys in the Hunger Games?
I think he was one of the careers in the Hunger Games, maybe. I'm not sure. Or no, he was one of the the Arvox? What's it called? The
Aardvark?
No, the Vox. Something Vox. Where they don't
I wasn't
have
big into that series.
Okay. I don't remember what it's called, but AVOX, I think AVOX is what it's called. Maybe. I'd have to... I'm sorry. Just keep going. I'm rumbling.
And by the way, like the... Yeah, he's like a tank. And the author, Lee Child, says the new Jack Reacher is way better recasted, I guess. He's saying like much better than a Tom Cruise for playing Jack Reacher. So I'm all for it.
Hmm.
I'm all for it. Anyway, yes, Jack Reacher's on my list. I was watching Ozark last night, the most recent season of Ozark. So I'm into the.
I'm watching, I think it's called Lady Killers or something like that. Hmm. Or Killer Women, something like that. It's pretty good.
No, Lucy was right. Liu. Alan Ritchson was one of the careers in Hunger Games, which means that he was one who volunteered to go because he was so like buff and lethal. So he already has played that like buff and lethal character before.
Not a stretch, I guess. Then
he looks a little bit like he built like John Cena.
Yeah, that's who I thought. Like, he looks like John Cena. That's who I thought it was at first, actually. All right, are we done?
We're done. That's all the super chats.
All right, everyone.
All right.
Well, thanks for joining us on this Tuesday. We'll be back here tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Much love to all of you. And if you're interested in real estate investing, learning how to build wealth through real estate investing today at noon Eastern time, I've got a live stream over on our Morris Invest channel. That's the channel where we just focus on real estate investing and learning how to build passive income. I know many of you, when I've done the live stream before, have come over and joined me there. So, hey, I'd love to welcome you. Again, that starts in about an hour and a half. That's noon Eastern time. If you want to come over to youtube.com/Morris Invest, Morris Invest, just change the first, instead of Morning Invest, just change it to Morris. That's our last name. We're going to do a real estate live stream today at noon Eastern time. So come over and join us there. All right, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern time.
Bye then.
Bye, everyone.